You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You are tuned in to another edition of Americana Music Profiles, brought to you by Americana Rhythm Music Magazine and AmericanaMusicMagazine.com. I'm your host, Greg Tutwiler. Let's jump right in to the next exciting interview. Myths We Tell Our Young is the latest CD from the Carolina bluegrass band Unspoken Tradition. Audie McGinnis, my guest on this edition of Americana Music Profiles, tells me how this group got together as just a casual group of guys picking in the basement. The band is steeped in tradition and full of heart. Join us as we get to know more about Unspoken Tradition.
Hi, Audie. Welcome to the podcast.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, good. Thanks for taking the time to chat with us today. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Yeah, I enjoy being asked difficult questions.
Yeah. do I have it right? Are you in Asheville?
Well, yeah, the band is sort of headquartered out of Asheville.
Okay.
We're all kind of spread out all over the place as far as where we live. But yeah, we do most of our work out of Asheville. Yeah.
Okay, all right. Band is Unspoken Tradition. Tell me about how that came to be, how you guys got together.
Well, so after, not long after college, I came back home and, there were some guys that I had been sort of casually making music with on and off, since I was in, you know, early teenager. A couple of them had recently become really interested in bluegrass, and I've been playing and listening to bluegrass, you know, my whole life. And so we got together, and it just started out as like a casual group of guys just kicking in the basement, you know. And then the bass player says, you know, we should make money doing this, maybe. And I still can't tell you if that's true or not. But
yeah, I understand.
But now, you know, it just over time it developed something kind of organically where we said, you know, if we're going to do this anyway on a Friday or Saturday night, why not?
Yeah.
Why not try to do it in front of people, you know? And one thing led to another, and we picked up Ty along the way and picked up Tim along the way, and now we've got Zav. You know, we've had some face changes and some personnel changes, whatnot, but the band keeps on moving. So yeah.
So is this, are you guys considering it a full-time thing, or do you have other side projects that you all work at?
Side projects. everybody in the band works a full-time job.
Gotcha. So that's your side gig, right?
We're 40-hour a week. Yeah. Unspoken Tradition is the side gig in a way.
Okay.
Yeah, we're all working men. We're all family men. Several of us have kids and, you know, starting families and, working day jobs and everything else, and this is just our, you know, well, I don't want to say it's just our side hustle, because, I mean, honestly, like, I consider myself very lucky to be able to do something to make extra money on the side that I'm so passionate about.
Sure,
and,
yeah.
You know, because a lot of people have to pick up side hustles that they hate, you know, I mean, I could be serving coffee at Starbucks if it made me a little extra money, but it wasn't really about that to begin with, and there have been times where I've, you know, been in positions where I need that money. But, yeah, the side hustle, you know, it's good to be able to do something that you enjoy so much and that
sure.
you can really put your heart in. And instead of it looking like an extra job, it's actually a good way to decompress from your full-time gig, you know?
Right, yeah, yeah. So I'm making the presumption that you all work places that are appreciate what you do and flexible with being able to be, you know, to play at the festival season, play more during the weekends and that kind of thing.
Yeah, most of us work jobs that are pretty weekend friendly, and you know, I have no idea what kind of relationships the other guys have with their bosses, but my boss is pretty understanding, and I'm a school teacher by trade.
Okay.
If you could call that a trade.
Sure.
But,
yeah, of course. Yeah.
But you know, so that gives me, you know, a big chunk of the festival fees if I'm not working.
Right.
I can pretty much go as hard as the band wants to go. You know, some of the guys I know, our bass player Slav works at Orvis, the Nashville fly fishing outfit, and you know, Tim builds banjos, same work trucking logistics. We've all got our own thing, but I think we all, you know, we make the music a priority as much as we can, and
sure.
I think it's just one of those things where we all just work, figure out a way to work it out, you know?
You've been at this for a little while too, right? This isn't your first record.
Right, so this is our first record with a records label.
Okay.
We put out two records independently, ourselves, and, I'm you know, like, as good as Miss Lucilla Young is, I'm extremely proud of the fact that we were able to independently release two records on our own, and they were, I mean, you know, by independent record standards, I felt like they were pretty successful. We had songs that made the bluegrass charts on both of those records.
And, yeah, that's good.
And we didn't go into mountains of debt or have to run Kickstarters or any of that stuff either. Like, we actually were able to finance it just through gigging and everything else. It was I don't know. In its own way, I was kind of proud of being able to do that. Show some like self sufficiency.
Sure.
With those first two records as well. And you know, I still have people that come up and ask me about songs off those albums. And,
yeah.
And people still buy them at our shows. So
yeah.
I guess I'm not the only one that buys them.
Yeah. Well, that's good. What does a busy season look like for you guys? How often do you get to play? Is it mostly, you know, in the Carolinas, or do you get out further than that?
Well, so with signing with Mountain Home and joining forces with the record label,
right.
we have definitely started expanding our radius a little bit, you know, and you know, just a couple of years ago, we might have played 50 shows a year, maybe.
Okay.
But they were all in a fairly concentrated area.
Yeah.
And now we are focusing on maybe playing a little less frequently, but making like further trips out
okay.
to places to do it, you know. And so we're expanding our reach up slowly but surely. You know, you gotta kind of work that circle outward gradually.
Right.
But yeah, actually, as we speak, I'm in the car. I'm on the way to, we're about 150 miles from Nashville.
Okay.
So we're in transit right now, but, you know, we're playing out as far as Western Tennessee this summer. We've done some stuff in Augusta, Georgia, Atlanta. We're going to be up in, some Northern Virginia spots later in the year. And we're even like in August, I think we're going up as far as, Connecticut.
Oh, cool.
We're
going
to play the Podunk Festival.
Yeah,
should be fun. So, we're starting to get out there a little bit more and play for some fresh faces. It's great, you know. We always enjoy the, you know, just getting to see the country and just spend some time together, and we get to play some music and reach new fans. And you know, there are a lot of people out there that say, "Man, we've been waiting for you guys to come to, you know, this area forever," and I'm like, I had no idea, you know?
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. It always makes you feel good when you hear stuff like that.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
So the new record is Myths We Tell Our Young. That's an interesting title. Where did that come from?
So it's actually a phrase from one of the songs on the album,
okay.
called Force of Nature, which actually... a little shameless plug here, but that track is actually being tracked, like it's being premiered today on Bluegrass Today.
Oh, sweet. Okay.
So But I can think about the fact that you said this on here later. So.
Yeah, that's all right. People,
it'll be long.
Yeah, people will hear it and can go look for it, though. So yeah,
that's just a line from one of the songs on the album, and that album or that song in particular, I felt like Force of Nature. It's actually just a love song, and it talks about how time can kind of erase all things. I told you I'm an English teacher, and there's this poem that I remember reading when I was an early teacher, like first couple of years, called Ozymandias by Percy Blass Shelley, and it talks about how just time can obliterate even like statues or all man-made things, and the song Force of Nature talks about how like what's left after all that. Love. The Miss We Tell Our Young, it's a line from that song. It says, storied kings from yesterday are myths we tell our young. And so it just kind of relates to that passage of time. And I think it kind of plays into the whole idea of unspoken tradition and things like that, too. So, yeah.
The style that you guys approach, obviously it's bluegrass oriented. Are you more traditionalist or in the middle? You lean more towards the contemporary side. Where do you feel like that falls for you?
You're gonna make me draw a line. you know how these bluegrass folks are, man.
They
want to get fucked. I don't know.
Yeah, that's okay. That's good.
I'm gonna tell you like the truth. We were all listening to bluegrass, and we all loved bluegrass, but when we formed, we had no intention of being a bluegrass band. It just we kind of organically gravitated toward that.
Yeah, okay.
It just as easily could have been, something entirely different.
String music.
I don't know where we fit into that spectrum. Personally, I listen to, and I would say a lot of my influences are super traditional stuff and also some really progressive stuff and everything in between. And I think we all draw from a pretty broad array of musical tastes and styles. And I think we all kind of mix that into the pot as we go. And that's why I don't really know what you'd call us as far as like a traditional or, some of the stuff we write is, a little bit, progressive leaning, and then we'll throw in like an old Ralph Stanley tune right in the middle of our set, and you can see some people in the room are going to respond to the stuff that we write, and then some other people are going to get up and holler and yell when we rip into like, Little Maggie or something like that. So I think it's a variety show.
Are you guys writing all of your own original material?
We have been until our second album, Paula Breedlove. Actually, we got a song from her. She's a songwriter from Ohio, and we got a song of her by way of Tim Cert and Boston Branch. Got permission from her to send that one along to us. And we put that as Point of Rock Station. It was on our second album, and she was so happy with how it turned out that when it was time for us to do Myths We Tell Our Young, we started, we wrote a couple tunes, and then we said, maybe we can like contact her and see if she's got anything else. And she ended up sending us just a bunch of stuff. And we ended up using two songs off of, out of that pile of music she sent us. We picked, two that we really felt worked for us and worked those up, and they're on the album. Dark Side of the Mountain and then Uncharted Territory are both Paula songs. And Cheryl Blackman and Ed Williams out of Nashville actually sent us a tune, Nothing But Sky, which is the lead-off track. And it's another really good one, really positive, upbeat little song about a red bird.
Okay.
And I don't know, that one just, as soon as I heard that one, I knew immediately that one belonged. As we're getting out there and networking with folks, we're we're starting to get some people sending us some stuff, and we're reaching out to people here and there. We're certainly not, we certainly don't feel like we have to write everything that we record. And I think you'd be missing out on a lot of really good music that's out there that needs to be recorded. If you only wrote, or if you only recorded things that you were, responsible for writing. So, yeah.
Have you guys, the new trend is lately to release singles as you progressively work on a new project.
Right.
Is that, have you found yourselves approaching that routine yet? Or are you more still in the let's collect 10 to 12 songs and then get back together for a new recording project?
Yeah, that's exactly what we did when we went to work with Mountain Home. I think that whole idea was still kind of in like an experimental phase, and they said, guys, why don't we give this a shot, see how it works? And we did, and we recorded, I don't know, I think it was like 3 songs or so, mm-hmm. and then we got those together, and then we started releasing those, and as the first one was hitting the radio, we were back in the studio getting the next 3 together, So, yeah, we kind of did that little batch kind of thing, and then, we would release one, and the amazing thing about it, like, it really was exciting to watch these singles do so well, as far as, like, for, our standards are concerned, with us really, this being our first, like, record label record, every song that we released as a single has charted, and one of them went to 3, one of them went to 1. That Paula Breedlove song, Dark Side of the Mountain, number 1, and Land stayed in the top 10 for several weeks, and it was really cool. These people haven't even heard the record, These singles are doing so great. So it was, it's pretty exciting to watch that stuff happen, and you get people that are coming to the shows and really react strongly to this new material because they're hearing it on the radio, and it's really cool. And it was something to kind of sustain our presence and things like that while we were getting the album, packaged and ready to go too. So it was great. It was a different experience than showing up and knocking out 10 songs over 3 or 4 or 5 days. But it's been a long process, but I also think doing it that way also allowed us to really kind of dig deeper into a lot of songs while we were in the studio and really push those things to new places, because we weren't expected to just keep, okay, let's get this song in the can and move on. Like, it was, okay, we've got 2 days. We're going to do 3 songs.
Yeah.
Let's make them as good as we possibly can, and walking away with a really great finished product. So, I don't know. I mean, when we go back and record our next project, I don't know what the approach will be, but I actually kind of enjoyed that.
Yeah.
I thought it was good.
I drawing an observation here, you've got the song we talked about, Force of Nature, you've got the song Land, a couple others seem to be theme specific, some of your original songs. Just kind of serendipity, or did you guys create this project with that idea in mind?
No, it definitely wasn't by design. I think it's just kind of reflective of how a lot of us feel about a lot of things that we see on a day-to-day basis. We've got a song, Land is talking about the loss of loss of natural resources and the way things are, everywhere you go now, you're driving on blacktop, you're sitting in a building, all these things.
Right.
The way people used to do this is disappearing, and I don't know, there's something kind of sad about that. Our mandolin player wrote a song on there that's about gentrification of his hometown.
Yeah.
Things like that. So, it definitely wasn't by design, but I think these are all just things that we feel kind of strongly about, and I guess it just comes out in your writing.
Do you find the audience is responding to those ideas?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. We we got a lot of really big reactions out of Land. There was a song I wrote on our very first album called Blood and Bone that talks about farming, and I can't tell you how many times I've had people come up and say, I'm a farmer, you know, and that song just stopped me in my track. And
that's cool.
You know, people come up and talk to you about how much a song means to you or to them, and you know, it's always because it hits some kind of personal note with them.
Sure.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, you have people that come up to your music, you know, your play is great and all that, but the ones that really stick with me are those people that talk about how the words to a song really resonated with them, you know, and it's always because of some personal experience that they feel like they can relate to our music through.
Yeah,
know?
Yeah, that's cool. So the new record is Myths We Tell Our Young, out now or just about out? Which is it out?
Tomorrow.
Okay, tomorrow.
Yeah,
so
tomorrow,
we're talking on
4/19.
Yeah, okay, so coming out on 4/19. So probably by the time most people hear this, it'll be out. So if they would like to snag a copy of that or catch you guys live somewhere, what's the best way to get to your website, to reach out, get in touch with you guys?
Yeah, well, we're all over social media. You can get to us on Facebook. You can get to us on Instagram. We have a website, unspokentradition.com, and there are links on just about all of those places that will take you to every major download and streaming platform there is. I mean, you can get it through Amazon. You can get it through Barnes & Noble. You can get it through iTunes, Apple Music, Spotify, any of those places. You know, it's everywhere. That sounds crazy saying that. But it really is. It's tomorrow. It's going to be, it'll be in your pocket. It'll be on your phone.
Yeah.
You know? So,
awesome.
I would certainly encourage everybody to give it a listen. And if you like what you're hearing, go buy a copy, you know, support
live
music and support local artists and, artists. Sometimes it's tough.
So we've got the
tip jar, and we usually split that money between the guys that need diapers and beer money. So it's the struggle of the family man musician. But yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, I would certainly encourage people to check it out.
Yeah. So. Awesome. Well, I appreciate it, Audie. It's been fun learning more about you guys, and we certainly wish you best success with the new record, and hopefully we'll cross paths out there in the festival season here coming up and right away. It's around the corner.
Absolutely.
So, yeah,
absolutely.
Thank you.
If you ever get the chance to catch us, man, don't be a stranger. Come up and we'll catch up for sure.
Yeah, cool. Thanks, Audie. Appreciate it.
All right, buddy.
Thanks again for tuning in to this episode of Americana Music Profiles. Find us on iTunes at Americana Music Profiles and on the internet at AmericanaRhythm.com.
Hey, this is Liberty DeVito.
This is Mike Del Judas.
This is Michael Cavanaugh from Broadway's Moving Out.
This is John Jackson, director of the Billy Joel Archive.
This is Russell Javers.
This is Richie Cannata, and you're listening to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast. It's awesome.
I'm Michael Grosvenor.
And I'm Jack Fernino.
We're lifelong Billy Joel fans who launched a podcast in 2020 celebrating the music we love.
Whether you're looking for the greatest hits or the B-sides and rarities, you'll find it all here. And if you've ever wondered what happens behind the scenes of a concert or recording session, we've got you covered.
Join us as we explore albums, tours, band members, the latest news, and more. You'll also get a unique glimpse into the music industry straight from the musicians and other professionals who help make it all happen.
Tune in to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, at glasshousespod.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcasts Network.